I'm Liza.
I'm Riz. And this is the Little Sleep Much Reading Podcast.
And finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up and he went completely out of his mind.
Do you think anybody falls asleep listening to Little Sleep Much Reading?
No. Do you think?
I don't think so. Well, maybe. Actually, I don't know.
Should we do some?
I know, because that's why, like, the way we did it this time was kind of in like a whisper.
We were
And so I was
saucy.
like, also, that would kind of freak me out a little bit, actually. Like, no hate to anybody who does that with us specifically, if you're listening to this right now. But like, if somebody like came up to me and was like, just so you know, like, this is a podcast I listen to when I fall asleep, I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, I think I too would be like, why? Are you okay?
Are you okay? Do you have to listen to sound to fall asleep?
No.
No.
Although I do love to fall asleep to thunderstorm sounds, so sometimes I will put that on my Alexa, but I don't
Yes.
need to.
Yeah. No,
Most of
that's
the
so
time, I
fair.
don't like sound while I'm sleeping.
That's fair. Last night when I fell asleep reading, I was like, I have not done that since I was like a teenager.
Did it feel good?
It felt so good. It was like fun. I don't know
Yeah.
how I fell asleep though, because that book is insane.
Don't you love it?
I'm obsessed with it. Like, actually, it was amazing.
I'm sorry I spoiled the death.
With Chuck? It's okay because I was shocked by a different death.
Oh, yeah?
Because, okay, I definitely saw the movie. I saw it in theaters, but I, turns out, have no recollection of it. No recollection of it whatsoever. I like vaguely remember Dylan O'Brien and the girl from Skins. And I like vaguely remember them like getting to like the science lab. But everything else, I was like, this is news to me. So, spoilers. I feel like we can do spoilers because everybody should have read both of these books already.
Yeah,
Like,
except
we're
for
kind of
us.
the weird ones for not having read them
Right.
already. So, when Albie died, I was actually quite shook.
Yeah.
That made me kind of sad.
Sad. Definitely
But
sad.
Chuck made me extra sad.
Yeah.
Chuck gave me depression.
I love that little guy.
He was so cute.
He was so cute. And, but like, honestly, I remember when I was reading all of the books, as I got further and further into it, I kept thinking about Chuck and I was like, I'm glad that he's not here for this.
Yeah, that's the, and I think Albie too, because he was so scared to go back. Like, that was his main thing. Like, he actually like just didn't want to.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, for context though, people, we were reading books that we missed when we were teenagers, dystopian books specifically. So I read The Maze Runner.
I read Divergent.
And you've never even seen that movie.
I saw the first movie, but like I don't remember it because I only went
Yeah.
for the Maze Runner commercial. So
that's right, you told me this last week. That's so funny.
yeah.
Did they make the rest of the Maze Runner movies?
Yes.
Okay. Were they good?
No.
Okay.
They turned them to action and not
Hmm.
enough horror.
Dude, this book was so scary. Like, I meant it when I texted you and was like, this is the scariest book for a teen I've ever read in my entire life.
You have to read all of them.
No, literally, I'm going to. Like,
Because they get worse. They get so scary.
I'm so scared. No, and the ending actually like made me so upset in like an exciting way, the epilogue. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah. And there's a scene from the last book that was so terrifying. It like in like the best way. And I remember James Dashner tweeted before the last movie was out, and he wrote something like, "Let me know what scene from the book you guys really, really want in the movie, and I'll try to make it happen." And everyone said this scene, and he did not put it in the movie.
Yeah. Maybe it would have had to be like rated R or something. You
Maybe.
know what I mean? No, that's crazy. I'm definitely gonna finish the series. I read all of the Divergent books and they were all pretty good. And then the first movie is like pretty good. The second movie, not so much. The third movie was so bad that they never even made the fourth one.
Right, because they split up into two parts, right?
Yeah, they were big into that during that time period, thanks to Hunger Games and Breaking Dawn and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
They should have never split it into two. It was ridiculous. That franchise just went so downhill. So downhill. And Veronica Roth really never recovered, who was the writer of the books, because she came out with another book like a few years after Allegiant and nobody cared. I remember by the time I got to Barnes and Noble, we still had hundreds and hundreds of copies of it in the back room because nobody had ever bought it, what, like 5 years ago when it had come out. And I was
Yeah.
like, that's depressing.
I was looking at her wiki page and she literally came out with like a book this year and two books last year. And I'm like, no one ever talked about it.
Nobody talked about it. And it was kind of cool because she was quite young when Divergent came out. She was like in college, I think.
Yep. She was
So
writing it in
that's
college.
impressive. Did James Dashner ever write any more books?
So here's the fun thing. So I'm sure when you think of the Maze Runner, you think of three books.
Yeah.
There's more.
What?
There's three books, and then there's two prequels, and then
What?
there's a novella. And then there's a book that happens like way in the future. That he just came out with last year. I read both of the prequels. I didn't read the one that came out last year or the novella, but the novella I really want to read. But yeah, so there's, yeah, he wrote, and he also has another series. I think it's like about AI, which is actually funny, or coding or something. So yes, he did write more books. I will also say I think his career fell off a little bit because he had grooming allegations brought up against him. Don't know where that went, but
No.
yeah. Oh yeah, it's called The Eye of Minds.
No way.
Yes, he also was releasing for a while little snippets of writing on Twitter that was like certain characters, like when they came up in the box.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. I read like probably three of them and they were fantastic.
Do they have any books? Is there any books about the second group? So you know how like we find out at the end that they're group A? Is there
There's
books about group B?
no.
We never find out what happened to group B.
No, not really, but there is a I think it's kind of touched on in one of the prequels, but not
Okay.
obviously it's before the maze.
That's weird that he just then forgot to continue that because that was like the last line of the book. Like he was like the person who was writing the letter was like, I also got some
Is it
extraordinary results from group B.
just
I'll
wait?
just read it. What's the second one called?
The Scorch Trials.
Okay, that's what I thought. And what's the third one?
The Death Cure.
Okay.
And then there's one prequel called The Kill Order, and then there's one before that called The Fever Code. And the Fever Code is like way in the future or way in the past. And I was really mad when he first announced it, because it's like he did the trilogy and then he did that one, and it doesn't have any of the characters in it. So I was like pissed about it, but I read it and it was
Yeah.
actually very fantastic.
No shit. I'm gonna have to do it.
Yeah, you don't have a
Yeah, there's
choice.
only one book not from the, like, so it's Divergent, Insurgent, Allegiant, and then there's Four, which is like a book of short stories from Four's perspective. And I
Cool.
think, I don't know why she did that. It was fine. I actually liked it a lot when I read it initially because I was super into Four. As an entity, but sometimes I think Divergent focused like a little bit too much on the romance aspect of the thing. Like it was almost trying to be more Twilight than it was trying to be more Hunger Games. So I feel like that's why she did Four, even though Miss Girl Stephanie Meyer didn't write from Edward's perspective until much later. Veronica Roth actually did it first. But Veronica Roth doing that was giving Stephanie Meyer just writing Midnight Sun.
Yeah, and as I was reading this, I was like, I have never experienced a YA book that is this horny.
It's the only okay, so we talked about this last week that like I was it last week? We talked about this a few weeks ago with like the subtext of the second Hunger Games book and like clearly something's going on. Something is going on in Divergent, like she's pretty blatant about it, and then it's like definitely confirmed. Like, there's a whole scene in the second book,
Slow.
and I remember being kind of shook because I think that was the first time I'd ever read something like that when I was a teenager. And so, like, good for her.
I was kind of confused about it because I feel like there's like a lot of religious stuff in this book.
Yeah.
And then when I got to like the acknowledgments, the first thing she says is, oh my God, where is it? Where is it? Hold on. I need to read it out loud for the people. She says, and I quote, "Thank you, God, for your son and for your and wait, hold on. Shh. Thank you, God, for your son and for blessing me beyond comprehension." And
Are you kidding?
I was like, I don't know if we should be saying that.
I never noticed that in my entire life. But actually, now that you say that, I think it makes sense.
Yes, it definitely makes sense. Like, clearly, her character is very oppressed.
Yeah. So that's why it's kind of shocking that the second one goes the direction that it does. I have to look into this. That is a
It's
little
interesting,
crazy.
isn't it?
Yeah, it's also just like, remember how I was telling you, like, I've read slash listened to the book like so many times? I just can't believe I never like you saying it now, I'm like, oh, of course. But like, especially with the different factions and like what they stand for. But I never realized that.
And like her faction was definitely religious.
Oh, 110%. That's like they're giving Jesus.
Exactly. And like her dad even says, like, but in like one part he's like, God be with you, and like they bring up God a lot. But it's weird because as much as she feels like she has that in her brain constantly, like abnegation values in her brain constantly, she doesn't bring up God often. So then it was so
Okay, and
shocking
that's.
to me when Veronica Roth said that at the end, because I'm like, well, you didn't reflect that in your character, which is interesting.
No, and that's the thing I'm thinking about now, too, because I'm like, with Tobias's dad being like an abuser and him being like the leader of the faction, like I wonder if Veronica Roth had like a falling out with organized religion, but just like still loves Jesus.
Good for her.
Which like so fair, like go off. But like it is weird for like a Christian book to have like this like abusive father figure who's also like essentially like the leader of a cult in a way. Like kind of iconic.
Yeah. She did the damn thing.
Kind of crazy. Should we get into our reviews?
Yeah, let's do it.
Who wants to go first?
It's up to you, best friend.
I think Maze Runner came out first.
Do you think so?
2009 is Maze Runner, and
My God,
I
it came out
think,
in 2009?
yeah, and I think Divergence like 2011 maybe.
My God, that's insane. Yeah,
I know.
yeah.
When I was writing my paper about my Hunger Games, I realized it came out in 2008. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, I obviously didn't read it till I was 12, so I didn't read it until 2011. But I was like, what? So crazy.
What? I mean, this is off topic, but what influenced her to write The Hunger Games? Do we know?
What influenced her to write it?
Yeah.
So she was, what happened was she was flipping back and forth between TV channels one night, and she was flipping back and forth between a reality TV show, like probably like Survivor or something like that, and live footage of the war in the Middle East. And then she like the two started to get conflated in her mind, like while she was flipping back and forth, like she started to not be able to distinguish which one was which. And then she was like, what if that were real? And there was like a like children being killed, but it was a game show.
Wow.
And also her dad was a Vietnam War veteran. And then was obviously very like anti-war. And so she grew up being very anti-war. So she well, that's why she wrote the book.
That's kind of slay of her.
I am obsessed with her. I think she's everything. We'll never get another one like her.
I don't know what influenced James Dashner to write his. I wonder.
Because it's weird. It's bizarre. It's like very creative. Like in some ways even more creative than Hunger Games.
Right, but I think that the simplicity of Hunger Games is what makes it like iconic through the test of time.
And so effective too, because like you read Hunger Games and you're like, I need to stand up against injustice. Whereas like the Maze Runner, like so far, the only vibe I get is that like government is bad, always bad. But I'm sure that'll change as I go on.
We'll see.
But anyway, get into it.
Hello.
So I love this book. I'm not even going to summarize it because, like we said, everybody should have probably already read both of these books before in their life. So for readability, I gave it a 9. It took me like 3 or 4 days to read, and I feel like it would have taken me so much less if I didn't have like other shit to do because I was literally like obsessed. Like I said, like I fell asleep reading it last night because I was like, I gotta see what's going on. The pacing of the book is so good. Like there's never sometimes I get mad when like authors like waste a chapter, if that makes sense, or like even waste a sentence. Like Marissa and I were taught that like essentially every word needs to be doing something. And I think this book, every section was doing something really crazy for the plot, and like that's what kept you wanting to read and read and read what happened next. It's a very fast-paced book, like I could totally see a kid, like a teenager, like finishing this book in one day just because they'd be like, I gotta see what's going on. So really good if you're looking for a book to just like plow through. For language and style, I give this a 7. There's obviously nothing crazy happening with the language and the style because it's for kids, it's for teens. Like there's not gonna be like anything really interesting going on. I will say, I thought it was kind of fun that he like low-key invented his own language, not actually, but like the slang that the kids use throughout the book is like really fun and it's really consistent. Like I feel like some authors would like do that and then they'd like forget to keep it going. But like he clearly like that was something that he really wanted to stick with, and be like a pretty big part of this community and these characters. So that was cool. I also don't know if this would factor into language and style or if it more so factors into plot. But like Marissa and I were saying, the horror in this book is so good. And the Grievers are scary, but they're not even the scariest part because Marissa and I were also talking about this. Like, she doesn't over describe the Grievers. And so you can kind of like picture them how you want. And like, the more I read the book, the more I was like, I can see Marissa's vision because she was viewing them as like slugs. But then he also described them as having like whale-like flesh like three times. And I was like, that's interesting. And I don't know why, but I was picturing like the spikes as being like horns instead. And because they were mechanic, I don't know if anybody else was severely traumatized as a kid by James and the Giant Peach, but that movie, I love that movie, but it literally like was, it horrified me deep to my core. And there's the shark that's made of metal that like comes out of the water, but then there's also the angry rhinoceros in the sky that like killed James's parents. And so I think I was like, because it was like a weird mechanical animal, I think I was conflating those two things. So that's what I was picturing for the Grievers. But like I said, the Grievers aren't even the scariest part. I think the scariest part is what happens to. There was also just a lot of gross stuff, which I love. I love gore. But was like Ben, the character Ben, when he like attacks Thomas, and also just like hearing what the boys sort of look like when they're undergoing the changing was really scary. Also, Gally is just like the definition of like a school shooter. Like he's just like he would be the type of kid that would just kill so many children. So he scared me a lot too, actually. And then the end is obviously super scary, which I'm sure we're gonna find out more about in the second book with the people with the flare. And of course I know what happens to Newt, so like you heard it here first. And that makes me really upset because I actually really like him a lot. But yeah, like the book was just like gross, and I think it was so scary too because partially because of the pacing is so quick that your heart rate like never slows down the entire time you're reading the book. There's never a moment where you're just like, oh my God. The other thing that was so scary was when he's in the graveyard and there's the box that like the boy is like kind of cut in half, and they like put him on display so that none of the other boys would like go in the maze like that boy did, or the box, I mean, like that boy did. Oh, there's so many like really gross, scary moments like that. For form, I omitted it. I don't know if this applies to form, but like the way Teresa and Thomas do talk to each other in each other's heads is like kind of cool. The way he did it with but just with the italics, but like otherwise the form wasn't doing anything cuckoo bananas. Shelf worthiness, I gave it an 8. So I loved this book. I feel like if you haven't read it somehow, you need to. I'm definitely gonna read the other books. And I also feel like, okay, so I had to reread Hunger Games for my paper I was writing, and I had the best time rereading it. So I actually downloaded Catching Fire and Mockingjay as well, and I'm gonna reread those too. And I feel like this book has the same energy. Like in like a few years, I feel like I would go back and read it again just because it's like so fun in the same way that Hunger Games is so fun. And like I've read Divergent however many times, like I don't know, that's this is really like if I'm not looking to be like inspired by the writing, this is really the only style of book I'm ever gonna return to if I'm being like quite, you know, like candid with it, and logical. Like whenever I say like I would read this again like more often than not, I want to keep the book, but like there's not a great chance I'm gonna read it cover to cover again. Whereas this I would. For plot, like I said, I gave this book a 9. I think it was really clever. It's so different from all the other dystopian that was happening during this time. It's like weird. Like it's like Because you get to the end of the book and you're still like, what? Like you understand that, yeah, they were like put in the maze because they're like super smart and like they're trying to figure out if like kids can, I guess, like save the world in a way. So they like put them through these trials because the apocalypse that's happened on the outside. But like you're still sitting there like, I don't under like it's so bizarre. Whereas like Hunger Games, like you're like, okay, I get it. This is the world. This is what happens in this book. Okay, now I totally understand how there's two more books. Same with Divergent, right? You have the bad people. You totally get what's going on. You're like, I know what's going to happen in the next book. I have no fucking clue what's going on. Like, in a good way, I have no clue what's going on. And I think that's a sign of a good plot is when you're like, are shocked by the ending and you're left wanting more. And so it kind of just makes you want to go buy the next book like almost immediately. That's a good sign of plot to me. And yeah, last but not least, characterization. I gave an 8. I thought Thomas is a really great main character. I like that it's close third person instead of first person. I thought that was really interesting because like the only person we are really ever close to being inside his head is Thomas, but it's still in the third person, so you still kind of get to see and experience everything in a way that first person perspectives don't really allow. But yeah, the characters in this book are great. I love Chuck. Rest in peace, King. I love Mino, even though he's like kind of an asshole. Love Newt. That's my boy. You love to hate Gally. There's like random side characters like Frypan that are super fun. The only thing, my only like note, the reason the characterization was not like a 9 is because I wanted more from Teresa. Like I felt like they focused a little bit too much on the fact that she was like really pretty and she was a girl. And I was like, okay, like something else is obviously going on. And like clearly it is. Like clearly like she and Thomas are like special in some way, and they kind of got down to that by like revealing that like they helped design the maze. But it's like, okay, is it all girls in Group B? Like, what's going on over there? And also, I don't know, it just felt a little reductive that like every other time she was mentioned, they were like, oh my God, and she's got beautiful black hair and beautiful white skin and like the biggest blue eyes you've ever seen. And then she didn't really like do anything else crazy except for like help solve the code. But even Thomas like kind of carried that. And so I was like, James, like, especially when you have Hunger Games where like, the most important characters are female. I was like, I don't love that other than her like really switching up the plot. Like Teresa sometimes felt a little bit like a throwaway character, but I'm sure that's going to change in the rest of the series. But that was like the only reason why like I didn't rate it higher because the only character that did seem flat was the female character, and that's kind of a red flag. So yeah, I love this book so much. I thought it was so good. Everything was described so well too. Like, I know I had seen the movie, even though I can't fucking remember any of it. Like, I feel like Thomas when he first got there and he like his memories were wiped, but it felt familiar. Like that's how I felt reading this book because I had seen the movie. But you could picture everything so well from the glade to the maze itself. It was just like perfect. Like, God bless.
Okay, I have questions.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character? Probably Chuck or Mino, honestly.
Nice, nice. Good picks, good picks.
Who is
Did
yours?
you Newt?
I knew you would be a new girl.
Obviously.
He's so British and so skinny.
Yes. And he's so sensible.
He is very sensible. I do like him a lot.
He's the motherly, he's the dad character,
He is. That's dad.
which I gravitate towards.
And you do that. Definitely.
Did you picture them as the movie people?
No.
Oh, good. Interesting.
A little bit with Thomas and Teresa. But everybody else, I couldn't. Oh, and Gally. But even Thomas, I pictured Dylan O'Brien, but like younger than he even looked in the movie. And then Teresa, like I pictured being like a little bit more jarring looking than that actress who plays her is, because like they're very insistent that she has like paper white skin, bright blue eyes, and black hair, which that girl doesn't really have. She has like blue eyes and she's a white woman and she has brown hair, but like nothing so extreme. So like I pictured them in a way, and obviously they described that Mino's Asian and Albie's black. But yeah, they could, I think coming at it as well as somebody who's older and not reading it as a teen, I'm picturing these for what they are, which is children. So like you feel so different when you're 25 and you're like, this is some poor 16-year-old kid who's having to deal with all this stuff. Whereas like if you read this book probably when you're like 12, like when you read it, you were like, oh my God, he's so much older than me. Like, or like when Katniss is played by Jennifer Lawrence, you're like, that makes perfect sense. I'm only 12. Whereas like when I reread The Hunger Games, I was like, Katniss is only 16. Like, that's so sad. So you picture it being younger because you're older, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. This
Period.
is, I think that this is between Horns and The Maze Runner. Those are the two books that I've read the most in my life.
Really? That's
I've read The Maze
crazy.
Runner probably like three or four times.
Wow.
Two times I read it out loud to my sister.
No way.
And we started the Scorch Trials, but we never finished.
Honestly, that kind of makes sense knowing what I know about you, because not that your horror is at all similar to the horror in this, because you don't obviously really write dystopian often, but like I can see how your little baby brain when you were a teenager was like reading this and you were like, noted, got it, love it, I'm scared, this is gory.
It was eating me.
Your brain worms ate it up, and then you spit it out into a different genre. So I actually totally see that.
The other thing is I looked it up and apparently James Dashner said that he wrote this book because he thought he read Lord of the Flies and thought there's no way that they would kill each other and that they would form a brotherhood and team up together, which is kind of cute.
That is kind of cute, and also that makes so much sense that it's influenced by Lord of the Flies. Like, that's, of course it is. Live,
Lord of the
laugh, love.
Flies, The Shining, and he said Lost.
That makes sense too.
It all, yeah, those, yeah.
I mean, and obviously like King Minotaur and the, or like King Midas and the Minotaur, or whatever the fuck it's called, with the maze. The maze that moves.
My last fun fact about Mr. James is
Yeah.
when he writes, he, I know, like he said, he like had a playlist for a while that he put together, like music, like m movie soundtracks. And because when
Oh,
he
cool.
writes, he pictures his book like a movie, and that's how he writes it. All right.
You froze for a second.
Oh my gosh, did I?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Okay, say what you said again about listening to the soundtracks.
He would listen to the like movie soundtracks, and that's how he would write because he sees his, as he's writing, he sees his book as a movie. And then he just writes it out as the movie. Did I freeze again? 'Cause you're frozen. Oh no.
Oh no. I still never caught it, but I'm sure everybody else did, whatever you were saying about the soundtracks.
Never know now.
We'll never know. I will say that's funny because I have a playlist that I've been listening to that's like movie soundtracks that I was using while I was writing all my essays, because like I can't listen to like music with words while I write or like read or anything like that. And I was listening to the Hunger Games soundtrack. And then when I started reading this book, I was like, you know what? I bet the Maze Runner soundtrack is on Spotify. And it is. So I was listening to the Maze Runner soundtrack when I started the book. Like the first like 30% of the book, I was listening to the soundtrack.
It's beautiful.
So that's kind of silly goofy, actually.
You and James
Me and
connecting,
James.
but not.
Coincidence, but not.
But not.
Because we need to look into his lore.
Yes.
Because I'm
He's
a little worried about that.
questionable.
I'm a little worried about that. That's like the guy that wrote Indian in the Car. Oh no, the absolutely true story of a part-time Indian.
Oh.
You know this?
No.
He's also a groomer.
I didn't know that.
So that sucks.
Yeah, I remember like my sophomore year of college, I was going to write to James Dashner.
No shit.
And then I like looked it up for some reason. I think I was like looking for who I would send a letter to, and then I found all that and I was like,
Marissa, you
can't
could have
do
been
it.
groomed. You could have
Dodged a
been
bullet.
groomed.
That man could
Seriously.
not groom me.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, good.
Although I am easily flattered.
I am easily flattered. That's so funny. That's that on that,
Yeah.
Mamacita.
Slay. Let's get
What's
into
next?
diverging.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know why I never picked this book up because like I read The Hunger Games, I read The Gone series, I read that like Matched series, I read The Maze Runner, I read Unwind. Like I was like in the scene. You know what I mean? I was reading the books up. I don't know why I skipped this one. I don't know what in my brain said not that one. But here we are. I read it. So for readability and interest, oh sugar, I just closed out my thing. Here it is. For readability and interest, I gave it a 9. I was pretty deep in it. I mean, this is a big book, and I was reading like 100 pages a day. That felt pretty good. So I was zooming through it. Yeah, I think if I had any complaint about like the readability, I think I wish that she, I feel like she put a lot of the more dystopian elements of it in the end of the book. And I think she definitely could have dispersed some of it throughout, Triss's mom told her to go talk to her brother about the theorems very early on, and then she like doesn't do it until close to the end. And I'm like, girl, you could have did that in the middle. We could have talked with him. Like, I just feel like some of these things could have been dispersed throughout instead of like so much training. There's a lot of like training and fighting and anger in this book, which is also really funny, but that's just me. For language and style, I gave it a 7. I feel like if I was 13 reading this book, I'd be like, damn, that was amazing. But because I'm an adult, I feel like there's a lot of like naive language. I think Triss is like a little, she feels like a child, which is a good thing, I think. But some of it I understand why it feels like juvenile, I guess is a good word. But the reason why I got a 7 is because there are some like really good chunks of language that, like, Veronica Roth was writing this while she was in school for creative writing, like her senior year or whatever. And I feel like parts of this you could definitely tell. There's one really good one that I just want to pull up. Just kidding. Maybe I don't remember what page it was on. I don't know. I don't know what page it was on. I thought it was on 444 and it's not. But I think she has a lot of good pieces of like introspective concept writing that come out. I think that there's a really interesting part where when she's talking to Janine, was that that lady's name? When she's talking to Janine, she says like, she says something weird, like I look into her eye and she is the dog that snaps at me or something like that, which I'm like, girl, so good. When she like thinks she's gonna drown, she has this like beautiful scene where she's like, I remember my dad like throwing me through the air and feeling it on my skin or something like that. She has these like beautiful snippets of like language that bring a lot of depth into the book, and I wish that they were a little bit more throughout. I feel like, and I feel like a lot of that really happens also towards the end. Like I feel like she was writing for fun in the beginning, and then she started to like really get her concept together and figure out where she was going and what she was saying, and then she started putting in like the beautiful, like creative writing language. And I just wish she dispersed that a little bit throughout. I'm pretty sure it said that she like wrote this book over her winter break, her senior year of college, and she already had an agent by March. Which I'm like, if that is the case, my queen, you could have taken a couple extra months and like really fine-tuned this. But that's just me. Shelf worthy, read again. I give this an 8. This is absolutely something that you should have on your shelf, especially if you like dystopian, even if you read YA, even if you like, I don't know. I feel like this feels more like today's romanticy books than any YA I've read. I know me and Liza talked about how like this is probably the horniest YA book we've ever read. But also like 4 is so grumpy, even though he's kind and gentle, that I'm like, oh, I see like so many romance characters in him. Sometimes I was reading this and I'm like, am I re reading like a dark Harry fanfic? This is crazy. So like I feel like that comes out a lot. And so I think even if you like that kind of romance, those kind of romantic-y books, you like A Court of Thorns and Roses, well, were you a Divergent girl when you were younger? I think that that's definitely coming through a lot, and so therefore if you like those kinds of books, this should also be something on your shelf because you would probably like it. For plot, I gave it a 9. I thought the plot was great. I thought it was really smart. There's definitely times where I feel like I gave it a 9 because I just eat dystopian up. Like it's like delicious to think about our world in different ways after every kind of catastrophe imaginable. That's probably like my anxiety brain talking, like having to like have a backup plan and to have books that are like, this could be the plan. This could be where the world is going. We don't know. It's kind of nice, even if it's not like a great world. But I also think that I think I again, I wish that there was less training, so that we can get into the dystopian quicker. There are a couple things I don't really know if this is necessarily plot or if it would be more characterization, but like Triss is love this for her, but she's kind of a B. Like she's kind of a bitch. And I think that if this book would have had more of an editing process, I think if Veronica would have brought this to her workshop class and said, "What do you guys think?" I think there are definitely things that they could have fixed for her. For example, this like weird conversation around suicide on how like it's okay for Triss to like shoot herself in front of instead of her family, or it's okay for her to make Four put the gun at her head, or to take the place of L when he's getting knives thrown at him. But like, and that's so courageous of her, but it's not courageous for L to have killed himself. Because he was a coward all along, because he tried to hurt her, which, like, I get what you're saying, and she's not wrong, but I definitely think that there's a something bigger that she's trying to say that she's not fully getting at, and it's coming across wrong. Like, I think that Al, I don't think that he's. He's obviously not that great of a guy, but like his character could have been fleshed out more. And also to kind of piggyback off of that, one interesting thing that I think Veronica Roth does is her characters are very disposable, I feel like, before maybe we get to fully dip our toes into them, which is kind of interesting. But maybe that'll serve in the long purpose, you know, that'll serve for the bigger picture, you know, in the other books. I don't know. I can't say. Also she says like there's the part where she's talking to Janine and she like points out all these flaws that I'm like, okay, girl, that's just me. Like she's so quick to point out that Triss is like very childlike and she's not shapely and she's skinny and small and has no curves and she's childlike and that's her body. But then like with Janine, she's like she stood up and I saw the pudge. She had pudge around her belly. She crossed her legs. I saw the stretch marks. I'm like, girl, stop. You are ripping her to shreds. Yeah, I just think that I needed to be workshopped a little bit more. For characterization, I gave it a 9. I pretty much liked all the characters, even the ones that I didn't like. I liked that I feel like she has people of color front and center, which is pretty great. I think we should definitely mention that and celebrate that. I did find Four's character to be a little bit confusing. But once we got to the end, I'm like, oh, okay, this makes sense. But like the beginning, I felt like he was confusing in more of a like conflicting his own character way than like a confusing purposefully way. But I definitely think by the end that like got cleared up a little bit. I do think it's weird that she like points out so much that like she's a kid and she's so young and she's a kid. Also, I'm pretty sure they said in the book that Four was 17, but then like Triss is 16 and She's like, "You're 2 years older than me." She said that multiple times. So I'm like, "Girl, is he 17 or 18?" Because that does make a difference. That does make a difference, especially if you're gonna keep pointing out how much of a kid she looks like. Also, that part where she's like, oh my God, that part where she says something like, "Yeah, but you wouldn't want to have sex with me because, like, I'm so childish looking." And he said, "Yeah, I would have sex with someone else." Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I
That I would
actually
kill
do.
myself.
No,
I would.
that would be my 13th reason.
And that was like the second like awkward conversation like that they had where he said something to her like that, and I was like, I would launch myself off a bridge if I was like, "Oh, I'm just so skinny and small and girly, and you probably don't want to have sex with me." And he was like, "Yeah." Okay.
That's so real, actually, though. But I think now that you say that, I think they mention that in the book of short stories from his perspective. And I think he like has like a crisis, like where he's like thinks one thing and then says that.
That's really funny.
You get all his internal thoughts in the short stories, so it's actually like kind of funny because he's like kind of just an idiot. That's so funny.
There was like that, and then there was like another instance where like she like said something and he like said something back kind of rude, and I was like, I would crawl under the bed. Like, no one would be, I would be like a cat with a cheeseburger under a bed. Like, there would be no way you're getting me out after you said something like that.
No.
But I thought that those moments, even though they were awkward and cringy, were like really funny, and I appreciated them. Thing I want to mention is when Marcus almost falls off the platform and her brother and her dad help him, and in her head she's like, "Fall, fall, fall."
Yeah.
I died laughing. I thought that was the funniest thing ever. She's like, "Fall, fall, fall." I too would do that.
Period.
Yeah, so this was great. I don't know if I'll read the second, I mean, I probably will read the second and third one, just not in the schedule in my head of the books that I have to read. I don't know if it'll be anytime soon. But I would like to. And I think it's only appropriate to end this conversation by saying, "I don't know what faction I am. And I tried to take three separate quizzes online and they all came out different."
Yeah, okay. Because that was going to be like my really only question for you. And then I started thinking about it. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should ask Marissa what faction she thinks her parents would have been born into, would have been in. And then that would have decided what faction she was born into. And then that would decide if you would stay or you would go. But then I realized my parents definitely would not be in the same faction. So that does not work for me at all.
I don't think mine would be either. Which one's the one, the smart one? Erudite?
Erudite.
Erudite. I think my dad would be from there.
I think my dad would be from there.
I don't know where my mom would be from. I think she might be from. I think my mom would either be Dauntless, or I think my mom would be Candor.
Yeah,
Candor?
Candor. That was my two thoughts for Maria too, and then because I think I would be whatever the hippies are.
Amity?
Amity. I would be Amity. I feel like Maria is giving Dauntless, but she's also kind of giving Candor. And I thought you were kind of giving Candor because you kind of remind me of Christina in a good way.
Slay. I took three quizzes. One, I got abnegation, which I was like, okay.
Hell
One,
no.
I got
Yeah.
Dauntless, and
Yeah.
one, I got Amity. So I'm like, I don't know.
Weird.
Maybe I'm just divergent.
I think you are. I think you are. I liked that you pointed out that some of the characters are kind of like indispensable. Wait, no. What's the opposite? Dispendable in a way. Like you could kind of just like toss them out and it doesn't really matter. Because you know that one part where she kills that one guy who's her friend in the end?
Will,
Will.
yes.
That was upsetting, but also, like, why do I feel like I remember nothing about his character?
Fair
You know
enough.
what I, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I remember a lot about Archer because he I just read the book, but like I feel like he's definitely secondary to Christina because they like get together. And I think one of the really important things is that he was erudite. Is that what it
Yes,
is?
you're right. He was.
So I think something about her killing him when he's erudite is kind of important. Like I think that was some kind of like symbolic thing, but in terms of his character, like him and Christina just got together. They all just got to Dauntless together. I feel like there was like something missing before his death, so that it made it impactful in the way that I'm like, she just killed her friend and now Christina's gonna be mad at her. But not once was I like had feelings for Will. You know what I mean?
That's exactly how I feel. Who was your favorite character?
Probably four, because I think he's really funny.
Me too. I love that man. He's a himbo, but also not at the same time. I love everything about him. That book is actually very sad, though, with the parents in the end. That made me cry, I think, the first time I read it.
I think I kind of expected her parents to die, but I don't really know why. Like her mom, I was definitely like, yeah, her mom's going to die.
Yeah, and
As
her
soon as
mom's a
her mom was
badass.
telling her all the stuff, I was like, oh, she's dying.
Yeah,
And
you're dying
then
tonight.
as soon as I realized her dad was coming with her, I was like, oh, he's dying. Because obviously, if you guys are going on like a rescue mission, at least one person has to die. And I
I
knew it
mean, yeah.
wouldn't be Marcus. And I didn't
Unfortunately.
think, I think that if her brother does eventually die, it will be to serve some greater purpose in her character arc. So I was like, I don't think he's gonna die in this first book. I
Funny
think
that
if
you
he's gonna die, it'll
say
be
that.
later.
Very funny, actually, laugh out loud funny that you say that.
You
And I
know,
won't say
I feel
shit.
like being writing majors has like very much ruined the way that we read in a lot of ways.
100. I can guess the ending of any book, except I didn't really see everything in Maze Runner coming. So,
Well, because
you
that
know.
book's just a little bit too crazy. Like, it's too original. I'm sure if I didn't tell you that Chuck would die, you would have maybe got that.
100%. Yeah. Let me tell you this though. My other favorite character is a wild card, and I actually can't remember his damn name, but I'm obsessed with him, even though he's not good. He's the guy that stabs the other guy in the eye with the butter knife.
Peter?
I love Peter.
Ew.
I know you have to you it, I mean you would have to just read the rest of the series, unfortunately,
No, I
with
don't
my
want the honey pie.
arm. But not that he's like, I'm like, oh my God, I love him, like he's my, that's ba like no, like he's an asshole, but like he's funny, he gets funnier
Good.
throughout the series.
Probably because Will was the funny guy and he's now dead.
They
So
had
they
to
needed a new Will. So
to
just pick
do it.
another white guy and that'll
Pick
do.
another white guy. It's Peter. Oh yeah, I'm remembering all sorts of things now. I'm so glad you read it.
Me too. I felt like it was. And like also like all my friends at work have obviously read it, so they were like,
Yeah.
"What part are you at? Tell me about it." It was fun.
That's so funny. You could watch the movie, you definitely don't have to, but I will say they got the set perfect for inside of the Dauntless
Cool.
headquarters, like with the cavern. They literally did it absolutely perfect. So that's fun.
Maybe I will rewatch the movie and
Yeah.
actually pay attention this time.
That's so funny that you just went for the Maze Runner trailer. Like, that makes me laugh so hard.
I'm gonna ask my dad if he remembers watching it.
Yeah. Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, which I'm like, I don't, why? I mean, like, she does look young. Like, she has that baby face, but she's also, her body's not young.
No, and also Theo James is like approximately 50.
Yeah, he's a full ass man.
So that was not good casting.
Is Christina Black in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Okay, good.
what's her name? It's Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, slay.
Yeah. So that was like
Okay,
the
cool.
year of the Kravitz because Lenny, not the year, the 2 years, because Lenny Kravitz was in Hunger Games and then she was in Divergent. And she slayed.
Delicious.
She actually is kind of perfect for that character too.
I
She's also
agree.
kind of old though. They always used to do that.
I know, which is messed up. It's a little Hunger Games-esque. You know what I mean? There's something dystopian about that.
100%. Especially with like Jennifer Lawrence. Like I could talk about that for like hours.
You know, I also have been thinking, I don't know why, I think because I'm reading this book and I just reread Hunger Games a couple months ago, but I've been thinking about this a lot about the way that Jennifer Lawrence plays Katniss. I don't think she did a good job.
No, and I agree with you, and I actually didn't end up rewatching the movie before I submitted my paper, so I like then just didn't watch it at all. But I was having that conversation with Nick too, that like after reading the book again as an adult, I was like, oh, I actually don't love the movie as much anymore.
No, and there's something like when she's being nice or kind to people, I feel like there's too much of a jump. And
Yeah.
she almost becomes like motherly, or she becomes, there's something like too sweet about it. You know what I mean?
No, that's tea.
It like rubs me the wrong way.
That's tea. Period.
But Josh Hutcherson will always be PETA, so.
No, and he actually ate, so actually love that. What are you going to read next week?
I have no idea, actually.
I think I'm going to read either one of the two Kindle originals that I got. One of them is like the collection of short stories that's like each written by a different person.
Yeah.
And then the other is a Paul Tremblay collection. You definitely have options on your bookshelf.
I have so many. I have a book that I just put on hold yesterday that I should buy. It's also Paul. It's called Growing Things.
Oh.
And it's like a collection of short stories that Heath recommended to me and he said was really good. So I'm like, maybe I should read that. But that one's really long. And I also have Eric LaRocca's the really
Oh,
popular one.
of course, yeah.
I have that on my shelf, and it was just a regular book, and then they made it into a collection of short stories. And I didn't really like the first thing that I read by him, so I'm like, maybe I should read that and give it another shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Either way, you can't go wrong.
No.
But we'll do it to him next week.
Next week.
Period.
Peace and love.
Peace and blessings. I always get, hold on. Excuse you.